Welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today, this is a second episode with Chad Yang. Hello, Chad. How are you?
Hello, Pastor Sammy.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing your testimony and personal stories in the previous episode. And in this episode, we want to know more about your ministry among Hmong youth and young adults. So tell us about your role at your ministry.
Okay. Well, at my local church that I attend, I teach the young adults class. And before we even start the class, we have like a 15-minute time frame before class starts. That way it doesn't interrupt with the class itself. I do this thing called Fun Facts. And what Fun Facts is about is things like you wouldn't hear on, you know, your average Sunday. You know, maybe twice in a year, and you might hear a small whisper of these things, but these things are things like the Ten Commandments, you know, any facts about Noah or Moses, or, you know, the Lord's Prayer. And you know, I have a lot of homework to do during the week, but man, you know, all of the young adults in the class, I know they know their Ten Commandments in order, you know. And it's, again, we're just kind of expected to know these things, you know, but I think that's really bad for us as Christians to just, you know, oh, hey, you grew up in church. You know the Ten Commandments, right? It's like, no, because nobody taught them to me, you know? So, I think that's a very bad assumption to have, not only from a non-Christian to a Christian, but even from a Christian to other Christians. Mm. And, you know, so, the Ten Commandments in particular, you know, I was very surprised at how many people didn't know the Ten Commandments in order. And you know, scripture doesn't say that we need to know these things, but it does say that the mouth speaks what's in the heart. And, you know, we're so fortunate to be in a country where having a Bible is perfectly okay, you know, and one day that might not be the case. And so, you know, either that or if we're caught in a situation where a non-believer is truly seeking God and they're asking us as Christians of, you know, our experiences. And hey, if we can't repeat something as simple as the Ten Commandments or the Lord's Prayer, or better yet, John 3:16, the gospel within the gospel, you know, like, what are these people going to think about that? You know, if I was a non-Christian asking a Christian, you know, can you tell them a little bit about the gospel? And they go, like, wow, you know, like I would be kind of disappointed. And so, I always use the, example of, you know, when you go to the doctor, you know, when you tell the doctor your symptoms, they can kind of gauge what you have. And so, you know, as a Christian, you know, and if you imagine a non-Christian asking you anything about sharing the gospel to them, I believe that non-Christian is gauging us kind of like a spiritual, doctor, if you will, not in a bad way, but, you know, as a Christian, to where, oh, you know, they say they go to church, they say they're a Christian, they should know some things that would be able to help. And yeah, I believe our experiences with studying scripture, you know, on how it applies to our life, our daily life, you know, we should be able to share something with them with that. So but yeah, so fun facts. And then of course, I'm the from the last episode, the East region of, or the East region director of the young adults and youth. And that's going very well. The team that is working with me, they I wish people can just see them behind the scenes, but they make up for so much that I can't. And you know, the reminders or the posts that they put up, you just you know, little things. And I wish people can know how much I cannot do without this team. And, you know, we complement each other very well. And so that's what's going on in the ministry that I'm involved in.
That's great. Now, what's the vision and mission of your ministry at your church and then the East Region Youth and Young Adult Ministry?
Okay. Well, the vision at the church right now, at least what I'm focusing on with the young adults that I'm teaching, is just to be spiritually equipped. And again, that's just in their everyday life of how they apply scripture to their life. And it's not if, but when a non-believer approaches us, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to say? And I want them to be able to say something that'll not only be derivative of scripture, but that's applicable to life and hopefully personal life. And, you know, I always tell them, especially the girls, you know, I'm not a girl. And one day a little girl is going to come ask me for some help. And I hope that I have some girls within our ministry that I'm working with at the church that I can point them to, you know? And so you never know who's going to be looking. And we should always be, ready to go, readily equipped and ready to share, you know, if not from yourself personally, a personal friend that could help. And in this case, if I'm not a girl, I might want to have a girl who's readily equipped, things like that. And then for the East region, right now is just to give back what I didn't have growing up as a teen coming into my early 20s. You know, I'm old school, and it's so weird to say that, but I mean old school in the way of, you know, we didn't have all these fancy camps or readily available leaders. And, you know, I'm not here for people to like me. You know, I'm here to help people grow, and I hope that they can understand that. And so, you know, I've been told that maybe my tone of voice or the way that I am comes off a little bit too strong, but, you know, that my goal is not to lie to you. My goal is to spiritually equip you as best as I can, you know, and what they don't know, Pastor Sammy, is that they're also equipping me in return by asking me these questions, you know, or asking for help, because, man, you know, sometimes we do need to be brought back down to the level of, Chad, do you remember what it was like to be 19, you know, and not be equipped? You know, it hurts so bad. And so within this East region ministry, you know, I just want to, as best as me and my team, we can possibly come together to equip our generation today to where when they're 35 and I'm not, you know, that they're going to be, you know, so many steps spiritually ahead of where I'm at today. Wow. And, you know, I believe right now I'm just carving the tire out, and that generation is going to come up behind me to push that tire and get the movement going. So, so to give listeners and a perspective, you know, I'm just the generation that I'm in right now with the, you know, the folks that are around my age and the leaders, regional and nationwide. Yeah. We're just carving up the tire, you know, and, I believe what we're doing right now is to prep these generations behind us to come and push this tire and get it rolling. So,
wow, that's a wonderful picture. Wow, that's great. Yeah, that's really touching my heart and encouraging me so much. It's great. What's the biggest need among Hmong youth and young adults in North Carolina and possibly in the whole United States?
there's so many, but I will start with this one. And it's encouragement within the family. Legitimately, you know, and that's even with my own family as well. You know, my parents, they have been working on that themselves, you know. And so, you know, again, Hmong parents aren't inclined to, you know, hey, good job, you know, or attaboy, attagirl. It's more, can you do better? You know, can you play better? Or, you know, like, and it's never positive or constructive. It's always, you know, you can get an A+, and it's just like, you can get an A++, right? You know, it's like, no, you know? And so I would say that's one of my biggest things why I like to connect the parents, if you heard from episode one, to the visions that my team and I have right now currently is to connect all that. And that way they know that, oh, you know, they're filling us in too. That way there are no surprises, you know, and, within the Hmong culture itself, they have this thing where it's like, if you don't share that information with them, then they might feel like you're holding it back from them. But if you do share it with them, they go, why did you share it with me? And so I, you know, through trial and error and, you know, just personal experiences at home, you're better off just going ahead and tell them anyway, you know, and once you get that out the way, when it happens, and they see it, they can go, why didn't you tell us? You can go, no, you remember back then, that day when we told you, that's what this was about. Or, you know, well, we told you, you weren't listening. And so that just kind of eliminates everything. But definitely, that's one of the biggest needs now is that, our parents, spiritually, they're growing too and can learn how to encourage us spiritually as well. Right. Yeah. And then on top of that, for the my generation or the generation behind us, is to definitely be more confident in stepping forward to serve. Because it when I go to these meetings where we elect new officers or you know, positions, it's almost like they're scared or, you know, afraid of failure, you know, and of course, you know, you're as a leader, you're not going to please everybody. I mean, look at the life of Jesus, you know, clearly he didn't please everybody, but, you know, if we are made in his image and if he is with us to the end of days, then what are we afraid of, you know? Right. And you know, I hope that in some form through, my leadership and my team's leadership, that they can go, you know, well, Chad's 35, you know, and so-and-so is only 19, 21, 30, 16, you know, like they're doing it. And that's a full range or almost a full range of ages. And so I believe, you know, I'm not going to say we're fearless, you know, because we're human, but I would say that my team and I were quite confident. And, you know, I even have people speaking confidence into me when the times that I'm weak, because I'm human. And so, yeah, to step up and not be scared. And, you know, I finally witnessed one of our own guys at the local church that I served at, when he said, Chad, it is exactly what you said. People just need to show up and God will take care of the rest. It's like, yeah, you know, and that's half the battle. You don't know what's going on unless if you show up. So when leaders realize that for themselves, that's when the traction takes off. And I believe that leader in particular now, that fear has been, I don't want to say removed, but overcome just by serving. And that's all he did. He just continued serving faithfully. And I'm so proud of him for realizing that for himself. And I'm even more excited for those, you know, who haven't stepped up yet. I cannot wait to see what these young, talented Hmong kids can do when it's my turn to pass the baton. I'm so excited. Cannot wait.
Wow. That is amazing. Just last weekend, I was at a retreat for an Asian church, and there were second generation youth and college students, basically. And then they told the story of how Asian parents are expecting a lot from their children, and their children are not really listening a lot of compliments from their parents. So they have a huge pressure, even if they made it to, let's say, Harvard or Yale, but they think that they're not enough. They're not good enough.
Yeah.
And they give, that gives them such a pressure that, you know, they don't really step up. They don't really jump, and they just kind of stay in their status quo. And so what you just said, it's not just a Hmong need, but I think there's an overarching general needs among a lot of Asian parents and Asian churches. But when they truly believe that who Christ is and who we are in him, you know, Matthew 28, 18 and 20, you know, Christ has all the power, and, you know, he will be always with us. So based on who he is, we can just go out and accomplish and fulfill the Great Commission. But that requires a lot of confidence, not just in us, but most ultimately in him, in Christ, so we can go with him. But, you know, what you said is very relevant in many young people. So thank you for sharing about that. So the next question, I love this question. I think you already said that, but do you have any other exciting stories what God is doing at your ministry?
Yeah, for both the local and the regional ministries, to see these leaders, these local leaders, make this realization of, hey, I can do it too. you know, and the story that I always use is if you look at the disciple John, and Pastor Sammy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the book of John was written 60 years after Jesus went to heaven, right?
Yeah, around like 80, 90, around the sun. Yes.
Oh, okay, 80, 90. Okay. Yeah, and I believe he was also the oldest disciple at the time when Jesus rounded up the 12 disciples, and he was 19 also. Is that right?
I'm not sure the exact age, but probably so.
Okay. Yeah. So, and, you know, I always tell them, if that's true, which I believe it is, you know, or close to it, then John was 19, you know, and so they're, you know, I believe for not just Hmong, but Asian cultures in itself, you know, they see 19-year-olds as just kids still, which they are to a degree. But, you know, at the same time, that's crossing the line from a kid into adulthood as well. And so, sure, John might have been stubborn like we are at 19, but John also wrote the book of John and, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation as well. You know, and so if you look at that, and, you know, again, this is the example I use. If you look at John, the disciple John, and what he has done, not that we're John, because we need to be us, but we can still do the same, if not even better than what John did, because, you know, he was just human like us, you know, and he just followed God's direction. And sure, we might not ever write something as cool as Revelation or see those visions, you know, although I think it would be cool to to witness something like that. But to be relevant to today, to be fearless like John, to just believe that, you know, hey, I'm going to write this book and allow God to speak through me. Man, like, you know, again, that's exciting to recognize these leaders coming up through the ranks of their own stubbornness and go, I can do this. And I wish that they would take bigger steps like that so that, you know, folks like myself, when I have kids, I hope my kids can look up to them, you know, and isn't that what we want? I don't think any parent ever said, kids, can you just go hang out with a bunch of knucklehead thugs and, you know, stab some people? Like, no, you know, it's always get around some good people, you know? And so, I want my kids to be able to come back and look up to these leaders that, or future leaders that I'm in a sense, kind of coaching or mentoring or teaching now. Yeah. And, I think that'll be all good, you know? So that's what I'm excited about, is to see leaders recognize these changes that they can make, not only for themselves, but for the kingdom of heaven and the impact that could come out of that. And to remove these fears of whatever obstacles that I believe are silly, maybe relevant to them at the time, but silly in the big picture. And man, allow God to truly use you. And when you do, the realization is mind blowing.
Great. Well, Chad, thanks so much for your sharing about your ministry. It is very, very exciting. And in the next episode, I want to hear more about your future visions for next generation. For Hmong ministry. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thanks so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.